Alright. Morning. Today's daf is daf Nun Aleph in Zvachim. We're a little bit behind. We're back on daf Nun Amud Beis, and we're towards the top of the Amud. Yesterday's daf and today's daf really are centerpieces of the Masechta, in that the Gemara here entertains the ideas of doing a double limud. In the world of Kachim, as I mentioned yesterday, and just briefly, start off this morning, pointing out, in the world of Kachim, so limudim do not come as easily as in other masechtas, in other areas of Torah. Other areas of Torah, so you can go from one limud to another limud. So you can go from a gzera shava to a hekesh, from a binyanav to a gzera shava. Those types of jumps seem to be totally okay in other areas. You can go from gzera shava to gzera shava. Right? How do we know that you can make a minyan? So it's a double gzera shava. The Gemara Megillah, right, the Chaf Gimel, thereabouts. The Gemara Megillah says that we know that a minyan requires 10 men. How do we know it? So we learned it through a double gzera shava. We learned it from Toch Toche the Eda. So Hina Hina Zima Zima. That's the beginning of Yivamos. So we know that you could these double jumps in limudim are totally acceptable in other areas of halacha. Thank you. In other areas of halacha, however, in the world of kachim, it's not you can't go from one to another. You can't do a double jump. So what the Gemara spends almost two dapim doing is entertaining, is there any type of double jump that's acceptable in the world of limudim, right? So as I mentioned yesterday, as we're going to go through now today, so the Gemara goes through every permutation, right? There are four generic categories that we're going to be discussing. Hekesh, Gezer, Shava, Binyanav, and Kal V'Chomer. And what the Gemara is now going to do is basically mix and match every single one of those permutations. So if you do the math, which is not really difficult math, you'll figure out that there are 16 different permutations, right? There are four categories, and each category can be layered four on top of that, so it's four times four. So it's 16 categories of different permutations that can come out. As I mentioned yesterday to Dr. Zaghi, a lot of these, the Gemara just simply remains unresolved, meaning Gemara says, I don't know. I guess the default position would be you can't, but on most of these, I don't know about most, about half of them, the Gemara says, we just simply don't know. The first thing we did yesterday.
Does the Gemara say why exempt from these double limud?
Right. That's a big question. I struggle with the bigger questions. Meaning, right, as you always will find, right, as the questions get bigger and broader, like you're going to have a harder time answering those bigger questions. It's true philosophically. It's true in learning as well. Meaning, so why is it by Kachim that you can't do it? That you can't do a double jump, right? That we're much more confined in the world of Kachim. So that's a big question. I don't know. I don't know why that's necessarily the case, but it's necessarily the case. So yesterday we started with Hekesh, right? We did all of our Hekeshim. Davar alamed behekesh cannot ain malamed behekesh, that you can do, and we went through all the permutations of Hekesh. Then the next thing we covered is Gzeres Shava, right? And I think we're in the middle, right? We're still in Gzeres Shava. Right, so this is round two, and we're on the top of the page. We are on Nun Amud Beis, and we're three lines from the top of the page. So here's what we're up to: learning from Gzeres Shava, and then Gzeres Shava, and then going from there to a Kal V'Chomer. So can I do that jump? Can I go Gzeres Shava and then Kal V'Chomer? So the Gemara's answer is ingenious: Kal V'Chomer. Yeah, you can. And not only can you, but we're going to derive this through a Kal V'Chomer. Right? Everyone understand the irony over here? We're going to learn out that Gzeres Shava can go from Gzeres Shava to Kal V'Chomer using the method of Kal V'Chomer. Okay, now listen carefully. Now look, in the world of Hekeshim, I can't Hekesh. I can't jump, learn a Hekesh and then learn another Hekesh, and that we've already established. Either through Rav or through Ravina, that's back on Mem Tes Amud Beis. Good. So I can't go Hekesh. Malamed, so I'm sorry. Uma Hekesh Eina Malamed Behekesh, Ima Derav, Ima Deravina, Malamed Bekav HaChomer, Mi Detan Debe Rav Yishmal, but we've also learned that I can go Hekesh Kav HaChomer. That we can do. That takes us to Tana Debe Rav Yishmal, which was back on Mem Aleph. Gzeres Shava, Hamalamedes Behekesh, midrav papa eino din shetalame bekav chomer. So gzera shava, which I can learn from a which I can learn to a hekesh, and that we established from Rav Papa eino din shetalame bekav chomer. So if I can go gzera shava hekesh, I can for sure go gzera shava kav chomer. Okay, think it through. Right, it's a logical argument that tells me that I can go gzera shava kav chomer. If hekesh is not strong enough to be added on to a hekesh, and meanwhile I can go hekesh kav chomer, gzera shava, which can then be layered on top of that a hekesh, I could for sure add a kav chomer on top of that. Good. Now, great. It is a great logical argument. Think it through. It really works out. But hanich lamandi yisle the Rav Papa. But remember, though, Rav Papa was controversial. Not everyone agreed to Rav Papa. That goes back to Nun Amud Aleph. So lamandi yisle the Rav Papa, Michael Amemar. So if you don't agree to Rav Papa, so how do you then arrive at the conclusion that I can add a kav chomer on top of a gzera shava? So ela kav chomer. So the Gemara says, okay, I'll still do it. I just won't use. I'll have to use a different line of reasoning. Okay, so we'll go like this. Hekesh can't be layered on top of a hekesh. Good? Meanwhile, I can go hekesh kavachomer. Right? That we said you can do. Right? From Tan de Bei Ravi Shmuel. Gzereshava hamalamez be gzereshava chaverta midrami barchama. Gzereshava on top of gzereshava. That we can do. Eino din shetalame bekavachomer. So now, if I can layer a gzera shava on top of a gzera shava, don't you think I can layer a kavachomer on top of a gzera shava? Fine. So we'll use that method. And finally, davar alame be gzera shava, ma'ish alame be beginav teiku. How about gzera shava followed then by beginav? The Gemara says teiku, that we don't know. Okay, fine. And the Gemara has no evidence one way or another whether or not that would work out. All right, so we are finished now with round two. Okay, Gzereshava. Gzereshava is pretty good, meaning you could layer a Gzereshava on top of a Gzereshava. You could layer a Kavachomer on top of a Gzereshava. Binyanav of the Gemara says, I don't know. And what do we? What's the last one? Wait, let's do that again. I should make a chart, really. Yeah. No, what's it called? Yeah, he has a chart. He has a chart. So let's do that again. Gzereshava can be layered on top of Gzereshava. Gzereshava can then be followed by Kavachomer. Gzereshava followed by Binyanav, unclear. And then Gzereshava followed by a Hekesh. Also, I'm not sure. How did the Gemara end over there? So that was the Nituach Vehefshet. I'm not sure how the Gemara ended over there, meaning in the affirmative or in the negative. Okay. Okay. Now Kavachomer, round three. Kavachomer, davar alame bekavachomer, ma'ishalame behekesh. So the Gemara now starts off. Kavachomer followed then by hekesh. So the Gemara says again, ingeniously, Kavachomer. Yes. Umagzereshava sheinu lameida behekesha. Right, if you have a gzera shava that you do not learn, in the Gemara it says behekesha. We're going to change that. Well, not we. Right, the Shita Mekabet says we're going to learn mina hekesh. Right, that right. Uma gzera shava sheinam lameda men mina hekesh. Look, a gzera shava I can't learn from a hekesh. Mid Rav Yochanan, and with that we've already established from Rav Yochanan malame behekesh. But meanwhile, a kavachomer can go into a hekesh midrav Rav Papa. Kavachomer halamed mehekesh midatan debe Rav Yishmael. A kavachomer that's learned from a hekesh ain't a din shilamed behekesh. So, in other words, it for sure can a kavachomer can for sure flow into a hekesh. Hanich lamandias le Rav Papa. Again, that kavachomer is beautiful, but that's only if you subscribe to the rule of Rav Papa. Alamanda leis le Rav Papa Michael Amemar teku, and the Gemara says good. I don't know. Meaning, if I don't subscribe to Rav Papa's rule, so then I don't have this kavachomer. Davar lamen bekavachomer, ma'ish lamen begzerah shava. Going now from a kavachomer into a gzerah shava. Okay? So kavachomer. So again, the Gemara is going to use a kavachomer. It makes sense. Meaning that when we're using the argument of, can I layer something on top of a Kal Vachomer? So, to a certain degree, it makes sense that we'll use logical deduction in order to derive basic rules of, can I do that? So, Mashalam and Bigzer Shav, a Kal Vachomer, Magzer Shav, Shaina Lameda, Behekesha, Midrav Yochanan. Look, Gzer Shav can't be learned through a Hekesh. Malame Bigzer Shav, but meanwhile, Gzer Shav can be learned through a Gzer Shav. Midrami Varchama. Kal Vachomer, Halamid Behekesh, Kal Vachomer, which you can learn through a Hekesh, Eino Din. Okay, so again, think through the logical argument. Sounds like absolutely Kal Vachomer can actually be learned through a Gzeira Shava. Okay, Davar Halame B'Kal Vachomer, Ma'ish Halame B'Kal Vachomer. Finally, look, we're going to go through every permutation, Kal Vachomer to a Kal Vachomer. So the Gemara says yes, and we'll learn it through a Kal Vachomer. All right. Look, Gzeira Shava, which you cannot learn through a Hekesh. Meanwhile, Gzeira Shava can learn through a Kal Vachomer. Kidamaran, Kal Vachomer halamin mehekesh. Kal Vachomer that you can learn through a Hekesh. Midatan de Bereishma, in addition to Lamed be Kal Vachomer. Vizel Kal Vachomer ben Kal Vachomer. So the Gemara says that's really, it's a Kal Vachomer learned through a Kal Vachomer, meaning the argument that got us to this point necessitated two Kal Vachomers. Okay. The Gemara says, if you really think it through, right, and if you're really following the thought process of the Gemara right now, you realize that it's not a double Kal Vachomer, it's really a triple Kal Vachomer. Ben Benosho Kal Vachomer Hu. So, Ela Kal Vachomer. So the Gemara says, fine. And apparently the Gemara doesn't want to go that far. Meaning, to use a Kal Vachomer twice, the Gemara, for reasons which I don't fully understand, is comfortable with that. But to go three processes of Kal Vachomer, the Gemara says that's too much. Ela Kal Vachomer. Look, Hekesh can't be learned through Hekesh. Either we learn it from Rav or Ravina, one of the two. Malami be Kal Vachomer. Meanwhile, I can go from a Hekesh into a Kal Vachomer. Midatan de Bevi Yishmal. Kal Vachomer halami mehekesh. Midatni de Bevi Yishmal. Eino din shalami be Kal Vachomer. Kal Vachomer, which can be learned through a Hekesh. Don't you think it can be learned through a Kal Vachomer as well? And Zeu Kal Vachomer ben Kal Vachomer, and that's okay. Okay. Fine. Finally, Davar halami be Kal Vachomer, Ma'ish halami be Vinyanav. Last of the Kal Vachomers. A Kal Vachomer, how about learning it through a binyanav? So here, Amar of Yirmiyah Tashma. So the Gemara says, look, we'll actually have an example. Okay, so for the first time now in a while, we're actually going to go through a real-life halachic example to show Kal Vachomer into a binyanav. Okay, now this one's going to be a little bit tricky, so let me give a little bit of background information over here, okay, before we actually go forward in the Gemara. Okay. When I shecht an animal, okay, regular animal, just take a step away from the world of kachin for just a moment. And I shecht an animal, two things happen. Number one, I can eat the animal. With a proper shechita, now I'm allowed to eat the meat of the animal. Right? That's one thing that shechita accomplishes. Number two is that shechita also prevents the animal from becoming a nevela in the sense that it no longer gives off tumah. The animal will not be metame. The carcass of a dead animal gives off tumah. This is called tumas nevela. The animal's a nevela. In other words, if I could just restate it, nevela means one of two things. Nevela means I can't eat it. It's asr ba'achila, and nevela also means it gives off tumah. How do you contract the tumah of an animal, of a carcass, either through touching it or carrying it? So when I shecht an animal, I give it a proper shechita, I really accomplish two things. I, number one, permit myself to eat the animal. Number two, I prevent the tumas nevela to fall to attach itself to this animal. Good. What if I can't eat the animal? Right? What if I can't eat the animal? What do I mean by that? Animal's a treifa. Okay, the animal's a treifa. Oh, okay, good. And then, so, right, and we all understand treifa means that one of the internal organs of the animal is punctured, severed, damaged. Well, fifth parak of chulin, we're going to discuss all that. anatomy, animal anatomy 101, 101 and 102. So if the animal's a trefa, which means that even with a proper shechita, I can't eat it, but still shechita accomplishes, right? Because when I give it a proper shechting, so it's not an avela. I won't be able to eat it because it's a trefa, but it still will stop the terma from attaching itself to the animal. The animal will not be an avela. Okay? That's, everyone needs to understand that. That's the starting point to understand what we're about to learn. Okay, that shechita accomplishes two purposes. Number one, heter achila. Number two, no tumas nevela. Okay. In the world of birds, okay, another piece of introductory information. Nivlas of tahor. The carcass of a bird, okay, gives off tumah, but in a strange way. If I have a carcass of a bird, meaning a bird that did not receive a proper shechita, I touch the bird, I don't become tamei. I carry the bird, I don't become tamei. There's only one way to become tamei, and that's by consuming the meat of the bird. Now you'll say to me, well, you're not allowed to eat it.
It's still dead.
Right? You're not allowed to eat it. It didn't receive a proper shechita. And I will acknowledge, correct, you're not allowed to eat it. And then, on top of that, to add insult to injury, you're now going to become tamei. Okay, for reasons, gzeiros hakasa, for reasons that the Torah has declared, the ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when you eat the carcass of a non-shechted bird, you become tamei. This is what's called nivlas of tahor. Okay, so what if the bird's a trefa? Okay, and I shecht the bird. Seemingly, same thing, meaning that I won't be able to eat the bird because it didn't receive a proper shechita. But it's not tamei. It won't give off tumah. Okay. And the last thing that you need to know before we start reading this braisa is that in the Beis HaMikdash, so for animals it's the same shechita, but for birds it's a different method. It's called malika. Malika is where the Kohen takes his fingernail, his long thumb fingernail, and inserts it into the back of the neck of the bird. And again, for reasons that the Torah dictates, that is the method of slaughtering the bird in the Beis HaMikdash, which, as we'll talk about in Chulin at length, is so ironic. Done outside the Beis HaMikdash, you would have rendered the bird a nevela. But because the Torah says that's the method of shechita in the Beis HaMikdash, you have now shechted, quote-unquote, the bird in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay. That's a lot of information, admittedly. Just to understand what's going on over here. Tashma. Malak v'nimseis trefa. So, you're in the Beis HaMikdash, the Kohen's doing Malika, and after having done Malika, discovers that the bird is a trefa. Okay. Rabbi Meir Omer einam atame b'beis ha'bliya. So Meir says, look, you can't eat it. I get that. And you can't offer it as a karban. That's also for sure true. But it doesn't give off tuma. Meaning your Malika worked. Right? Limited, of course, to what it accomplished, but it worked. According to Rabbi Meir, it doesn't give off tuma. Rabbi Yehuda Omer mitame bebeis ablia. And Rabbi Yehuda says, it doesn't work. It's no good. The Malika was nothing. Since the bird ended up becoming a trefa, so your Malika was nothing. It wasn't a shechita. It was nothing. And now the bird is going to give off tuma in the way that birds normally give off tuma, tumas beis ablia. Okay.
Which means that
if
only if you eat it, you get
tumah. Right. Correct. Amar Rabbi Meir Kavachomer. So now watch carefully, because the whole reason why we're bringing this in is to prove that we can go from a Kavachomer to a Binyanav. Right? Yeah. So Amar Rabbi Meir Kavachomer. So first we start off with our Kavachomer. Right? That's going to be our jab. So Uma Nivlas Behema Shemetame Bemagma Masa Shkitasa Mitahares Trefasa Mitumasa Nevelas of Shein Metame Bemagma Masa Enodin Shite Shkitaso Mitahares Trefasa Mitumasa. So let's start off with a Kavachomer. And it's a good one. It's a solid Kavachomer. Look, and the carcass of an animal, again, leave the world of Kachem for just a moment. We're now just talking about regular animals. An animal gives off tumah, and it's a serious tumah. Mago masa, touching the animal, carrying the animal. And yet, shechita prevents it from becoming tameh, even if the animal's a trefa. Now I take that to birds, birds don't even give off that much tumma. The only tumma that the bird gives off is tumma's beis ablia. So you don't think shechita is going to take care of that by a bird? So that's the kal v'chomer. So the kal v'chomer has taught us that shechita works for birds in general. Now, so we got the kal v'chomer. Next step, binyanav. So the Gemara says now, ma matzino b'shechita shemichsharta ba'achila mitaheres trefasa mitumasa af malika shemachsharta ba'achila titaher trefasa mitumasa. Look, binyanav, we have a precedent. What does shechita accomplish? It allows me to eat. What does malika accomplish? It allows me to eat. So if shechita prevents it from becoming tameh, malika should prevent it from becoming tameh.
Malika doesn't let you eat.
Sure it does.
No, malika is only to kill and totally consume it.
If it's an ola bird, you're right. So then I'm going to take the bird and put it up on the mizbech and burn the entire bird on the mizbech. If it's a chatas bird, kohanim are going to eat it.
Oh, with the malika.
Right. So af malika shemachsharta ba'achila titatir trefasat mitumasa. So Rav Meir now has basically done exactly what we were asking. He first made a kal v'chomer that took us from animals to birds, and then he used the mematzino to tell us that in the world of birds, if shechita by a regular bird is going to stop the tumah, malika by a kachim bird is also going to stop the tumah. Prevent the tumah. Good. So now we went from kal v'chomer to binyan av. So Rav Yossi, who disagrees, Rav Yossi Amar Daya kenivos be'em atara sheshchita matarasa v'lo malikasa. So and Rav Yossi says, wow, you took it way too far. Daya over here, Daya lavam in adin. When you make a kal v'chomer, you can't extend the halacha any further than from where the source was. The source was from animal. Animal, there's only shechita. There's no such thing as malika by an animal. So you can't take a kal v'chomer and extend a halacha of malika from an animal where there's no such thing as malika. Okay, fine. And what's Rav Meir going to do with that argument? I don't know. It's a strong argument by Rabbi Yossi. But still, though, at least in the world of Rav Meir, we went kal v'chomer to binyanav. Okay.
Now, we did a binyanav without having a formal pasuk.
Right, but that's why binyanav works. Binyanav works without a formal pasuk. Binyanav just simply says we have a precedent. Right? That's why binyanav is the weakest of them all. Because binyanav is not really textually based. Binyanav is, it's precedented here, must work other places as well, which are similar.
Sometimes, most of the time when I see it, almost, I mean, every time you saw it before, as I remember binyanav, I see it comes from a pasuk. They quote it.
Generally, no.
But I must be wrong.
No, well, I don't know. Let's not speak in such extreme terms. But no, generally, no. Generally, it's concepts. Binyanav is much more conceptual. It works over here, so therefore it must work over there, which is similar. And then the Gemara says, and then every time you see the Gemara talk in terms of binyanav, the Gemara's next move is that, what do you mean? They're not similar. They're dissimilar. And then the Gemara highlights the dissimilarities between the two, and then that's it. You've broken up the binyanav, right? Because it's not similar. Okay, so that's the world of binyanav.
So these 16 permutations, it's used outside of kashim. It's acceptable.
It seems that way. Meaning, the Gemara, as the Gemara is about to do right now, the Gemara says this whole discussion is limited to kashim. Right.
So from these 16, you're going to find out how many of these 16 are acceptable in Kachim.
In the world of Kachim, so the Gemara resolved very few of them.
Right.
Very few
of
them.
Outside of Kachim.
And outside of Kachim, it seems like they're all acceptable. It seems that way. Velohi. Now on this, the Gemara says, even if you're bringing Rav Meir as your evidence that you can go from a kal v'chomer and there generate a binyanav off of a kal v'chomer, the Gemara says velohi, it's not true. Hasam tehavei. Hasam over there. Rashi explains. Sorry. Hachigasim velohi hasam tehavei mishchita sadechun kasya v'hachi perusha. Right, Rashi over here explains Peshat in the Gemara. The first Rashi on the page. Hasam ikar time der Rameir lo yalav bibinyanav ela mehekesh dezos tarasa behem avav kedela kamen beperchatasov. So first of all, The first reason the Gemara rejects it is that's not a binyanav. It is a it's a hekesh. Okay, so that's point number one. So right, so from that alone, we could just really end the discussion. Right, it's not kal v'chomer binyanav. That's number one. Number two, right? Rashi says it's really the Gemara is making two points. Number two, tehave. Even if it's true, even if you really do believe it's a binyanav, he mishchitas techulin kaasyan. You know, where are we generating the halacha from? From Chulin, right? Remember, we had this discussion yesterday. This whole discussion is to go from Kachim to Kachim. Here we're going from Chulin to Kachim, and that just simply doesn't work. It doesn't cut it, right? When you're learning the source halacha from Chulin, so really it's a Chulin halacha that we're just going to transfer over to Kachim. So fine. So leave this whole example out of the discussion. Davar halame bibinyanav. All right, and finally, that's it. That's the end of the Kal v'chomer discussion, and now finally we are finishing up now with binyanav. Now, as I mentioned, binyanav is your weakest. Here in the fourth round, the Gemara just cuts right to the chase. The Gemara wants to know: after having learned a binyanav, can I then extend it with any one of the four? With a kal v'chomer, with a hekesh, with a gzer shava, or perhaps even with a binyanav. So pasha mehachada. So the Gemara says, look, unclear on almost all four of them, but at least one of them, maybe we could say. Mibnei ma'amru. Now this is the Gemara's quoting a brisa from Daf Pei Dalet. Pei Dalet, okay, ninth perek of Zvachim. Wow. Fine. And in the ninth parak of Zvachim, HaMizbech Mekadesh, the topic of discussion over there, which we've touched on already a number of times so far in Masechta Zvachim, is things that shouldn't have gone on the Mizbeach, but once up there, keep it up there. Right? The Mizbeach can tolerate certain things which you should not have put up there, but the Mizbeach can stomach it. Right? Pun intended. Right? Good. And again, when we get to the ninth parak, we'll do it more in detail. But right now, we just want one piece of information to show that I can learn a binyan av after having learned a binyan av. Mibnei ma'amru lan v'dam kasha. If I have blood that experienced lina, after I shech the animal, I have to take the blood and sprinkle on the mizbech, and I have to do it by the end of today. Today meaning by sundown. After sundown, that blood has become disqualified. That disqualification is called lina. Okay? Lina, to rest overnight. And really, that blood should not go on the Mizbeach. What if it did? So, lan bedam kasher. So again, you shouldn't have put up on the Mizbeach, but the Mizbeach can tolerate it. Sherei lan be'imurin kasher. How do I know that? So the Gemara says, well, because I know that if I have the imurim, the innards of the animal, the intestines of the animal, the diaphragm, the kidneys, right? Those parts of the animal that go up onto the Mizbeach, I know that Imurim, if they experience Lina, and they're put up on the Mizbeach, they could stay on the Mizbeach. Okay? Which only begs the next question. How do I know that? Lan bi Imurim kasher, sha'arei lan bi basar kasher. Oh, I know that because I know that if Buster experienced Lina, Buster can go up onto the Mizbeach. Now, that last step over here is a little tricky. Well, aside from that, meaning what kind of bus are we talking about over here? As Rashi points out, we're talking about bus or shlamim. Mm-hmm. Which means that bus or shlamim on the next day, the day after Shechita, that meets okay.
But that gets 2 days anyway.
And as the Gemara is going to point out in just a moment, what kind of comparison is that? That's totally legitimate. That gets 2 days. So we're learning a halacha about a delegitimate offering, meaning the imurim and the blood, and we're learning it all from the meat of a shlamim, which is legitimate.
Right.
That's a strange way to learn halacha. The Gemara is going to make that point in just a moment. But if we can ignore that point for just a moment, what we have arrived at is a binyanav through a binyanav. Right? The blood is similar to the imurim, and the imurim is similar to the meat. Again, barring the point that we just made, so we have now established binyanav through binyanav. Okay, so if I stop right here, we could say it sounds like I could do binyanav on top of binyanav. All right. Now, here's what we're going to do, as Rashi points out. We're going to finish the Braisa. The Gemara quotes the beginning of the Braisa. We've made the point already. The Gemara didn't need to quote more of the Braisa, but for whatever reason it does, and we're not going to skip it, so we're just going to read. Yosei, meat that became disqualified through having exited the Azara, or I guess if it's meat of Shlamim, exited Yerushalayim. Yotze, Hova Yotze, Kasha Bebama, since Yotze is acceptable when the backyard Bamas were acceptable, so therefore Yotze over here is going to be acceptable as well. And once again, Ben, we could also make the same point as well. How could you compare something which was totally legitimate to something which is illegitimate? Okay. Tame, Hova Hotaba Vodas Sibur. Tame, if I have meat or imurim that becomes tamei, or blood that becomes tamei, even though I shouldn't put it up on the mizbech, if I do so, it's acceptable, it's okay. How do I know that? I know that because sometimes tumah is acceptable, that we already know, and that's talking about when the rov tzibur, when the majority of the tzibur is tamei. Chutz zmano, how about if I take a karban that experienced pigel machshava and put up on the mizbech? Shouldn't put it up, it's disqualified, but if done, the Mizbech can tolerate it. How come? Because remember that I need to do the other avodas in order for pigul to take effect. Chutzim kamo, hol v'hukas to chutzim mano. Chutzim kamo is the twin brother or sister of the chutzim mano. So if chutzim mano is okay, if the Mizbech can tolerate chutzim mano, Mizbech can also tolerate chutzim kamo. Shekibo psulim v'zarko daman. If a pasul was mekabel, or if a pasul was zorek dam, pasul meaning a disqualified kohen, and now again the carbon really is disqualified, and really I shouldn't put it up on the mizbech, but if done so, the mizbech can tolerate it. Banach psulim dechazal avodas sibur, because sometimes we find that psulim is okay, specifically by carbon sibur, where the majority of the sibur is tameh. Fine. Now, after having quoted the entire braisa, still, the basic point was in the beginning of the Braisa, where you saw that we compared Dam to Imurim and Imurim to Basar. Now the Gemara articulates. V'chi dan and davar shelo behechsher midavar shehechshero. What are you doing over there? You're comparing Imurim, which are illegitimate, my Imurim that becomes disqualified, and you're right because it experienced Lina. Because you didn't put it up on the day that it was shechted. You're comparing that to the meat of Basar Shlamim? That's kosher. How can you make such a comparison? So the Gemara says, Tana mizos toras ha'olah, riba, samech lei. So the Gemara says, you're right. It's really not generated through the binyanav. You're absolutely right. It really is generated through the drasha of zos toras ha'olah. Zos toras ha'olah is a miut. Rashi points out it's really a regular drasha straight out of the pasuk. And the binyanav is just there as what Rashi describes as being an asmachta. It's just there to help us remember it a little bit, or help us understand it a little bit. But in terms of where the halacha is generated from, the real source of the halacha is based on hadrasha, not based on binyanav. So on the front of binyanav, essentially the Gemara said, unclear. Unclear about whether I can layer anything on top of the binyanav, even a binyanav on top of the binyanav. Period. Okay?
So is that clear? We cannot get any halacha out of this?
Meaning, we don't know. The Gemara says we simply don't know whether or not a binyanav can then, we can learn anything through a binyanav. Any other type of limud through a binyanav. Yeah?
Yeah, it's interesting. Among the 13 principles of hermeneutics, Heikish is not mentioned. Why is that?
Right. So,
where does Heikish come from?
Good. So that's a great question. Rabbi Rabinovicki spoke. His question is: if you read the Yud Gimel Midos, Shatar Nidreshes Bahem, right? The Rabbi Yishmael,
right?
Which is really the introduction to Toras Kohanim, which we say every morning at the end of Kabanot. So how come Heikish is mentioned? Right? Ben made an excellent observation. Heikish is not mentioned. So Rabbi Rabinovicki spoke, I don't want to make you feel bad, but he spoke, well, it was last Shabbos, right? It was just this past Shabbos. He spoke exactly about that issue.
And the answer? Were you listening?
I was listening. So his basic point is that Hekesh is a step up from a regular limud. Hekesh is it's as if the Torah actually wrote it out when the Torah makes a comparison, and it's not a real limud. And then he went on to
here, it's less powerful than zero
shabbat. Right, and then
no, but it's not according to what you just learned.
Zera Shava seems to beat Hekesh. Kavachomer seems to beat Hekesh.
Everything beats.
Correct. I'm just explaining why it's not actually in the Yud Gimel Midos, because it's not. It's a limud, right? When all said and done, it's still a limud, but it's as if the Torah actually wrote it. And he explained that there are practical differences in halacha.
If it's a Hekesh, you can't get Malchus.
Right. Five nafkaminas, I think he pointed out.
If you're going to be machmir or not,
right, correct. Suffolk.
Right.
Okay. Anyway, he brought it up. Okay. Good.
Why from all these 13 you have permutation of 4? Why not?
So I explained that, right? So that's also a very good question. So the reason why is because these 4 particularly take us from point A to point B. If you look carefully over the other ones are klalu prat, for example. That's just definition. Klal Prat is just there to help me define what it is, but it doesn't get me from point A to point B. Right? Klal Prat to Klal tells me what we're talking about. It's a definer. It doesn't move me from one point in the Torah to another point. These 4 all take me from point A to point B. Kal Vachomer tells me that if the halacha is like this over here, well, Sterling's going to be like this over here. Gezer Shava, same thing. I have a word here, I have a word here. They're linked. Binyanav. Precedent here must be true over here. Hekesh, Torah compares this to this. So these 4 particularly go from one point to another point. The others of Rabbi Yishmael don't do that. They modify, they explain, they define, but they don't get me from here to here. So that's why the Gemara now entertains that in these 4, now we'll go over all permutations. Can I go from Kal Vachomer to any one of the other 4?
Is there a dispute in terms of the 13 being the 13?
Yeah.
I think Ramban says more, no?
Correct. Rabbi Shmuel is one opinion. Other Tanaim offer
32.
Right, offer other opinions. And even in Rabbi Shmuel's 13, like for example, Klalu Prat, right, we know that other Tanaim don't believe in Klalu Prat, they believe in Ribu Emiut, which is the same method, but yields a different result. Okay,
right.
Not for now, but
yeah.
Okay, right.
Yeah, in the other, in the 32, Hekesh doesn't exist in the 32.
Hekesh, I don't know. Okay, straightforward, I don't know. Okay, Shayari Hadam. Let's move on. Okay, we are now going to move on to the next part of the Mishnah. First Mishnah, Ezu Makoman talks about your Chatas Apanimios. Okay, take a quick review. I'm looking back at the Mishnah. Ezuhu mekoman shel zvachim. Kache kachem shchitasim betzafon parvisir shel yom kippurim. So the first thing we start off with in the world of kache kachem is the bull and the goat of Yom Kippur. So, number one, shchitasim betzafon. I'm just reviewing the Mishnah. Shchitas done in the north. V'kibol damam b'klisharis betzafon. And you have to do the Kabbalah in the north. V'daman ta'un hazaya abein abadim. Now with the blood, so first you go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim and you sprinkle between the poles of the Aron HaKodesh. The Ala Parochas, then you step outside and you sprinkle in the direction of the Parochas, the curtain that separates the Heichal and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The Amizbech HaZahav, and you have to do the sprinkling on the Mizbech HaZahav. Matana Achas Mehen Me'akeves, as we have learned earlier in the Masechta, but the Mishnah spells it out. Every one of the sprinklings have to be done. Every one of them is essential. Shayare hadam hayashofech hayosod maravi shamizbech achitza. Then you go here, sprinkle in here. Go out here, sprinkle to the parochas. Go here, go to the mizbech hazahav. Get hit all 4 corners, and then hit the top of the mizbech hazahav. Then you walk out. Now I'm pointing to the west, but you realize this is to the east. For those listening at home, ignore. Okay, and now you're walking outside, and now you have Shayari Hadam. You have a bowl, and the bowl is whatever remaining blood is left. What do you do with the remaining blood? You pour it on the western foundation of the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach, now this is a two-dimensional top view picture, so you don't get a good sense. You don't get a good sense. But the Mizbeach has a foundation going along, but it, and its foundation extends out only on the western and northern side. There is no foundation, and it juts out just a little bit over here and a little bit over here. There is no Yesod running down the east and southern walls of the Mizbeach. Now, the southern wall of the Mizbeach, it'd be kind of hard to put a foundation over there because you have the ramp, right? But along the eastern wall, no Yesod, there's no foundation. That juts out, that extends beyond. When you pour the blood, you pour it down the Yesod HaMizbeach, down the foundation, but what the Mishnah tells us is not just the foundation, the western side. And the Gemara is going to describe why. Okay, but that's just, I'm just explaining right now the what. Okay. Okay, let's go to the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan, Shayari Damaitama, sorry, not yet. Almost. Shayari Damaitama, Amakral, Yisod Mizbech Ola, Asher Pesach Ola Moed. When the Torah describes the Yisod Mizbech Ola, the Torah then says, which one? Which foundation? Asher Pesach Ola Moed. The one that faces Ola Moed. Ola Moed meaning the actual edifice, the actual building of the Beit HaMikdash. So which one's that?
First one.
Right, the first one you meet. Hahu depaga bereisha, the first one you meet. So as you walk out, so which one do you meet first? Which side of the Mizbech are you meeting? West. You're meeting the western side. Good. Tana Rabbanan. Okay. Good.
But there might be a mitzvah, right?
Huh?
Because there might be a mitzvah.
Is that the reason why? I don't know. I mean, the Torah... It's a legitimate svara, but, I mean, right now, the Torah just simply says it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But it could be that that's the rationale behind it.
They're all agreed because of the rove up the base is also there.
Right, right. Okay, Tana Rabbanan. Now, let's do the following.
Tosfos agrees with Bill.
Oh, yeah, that's even better. It sounded right.
Mm-hmm.
Where are we?
Asher Pesach
Olam. Asher Pesach Olam.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
But the thing is that he's not passing one mitzvah to another mitzvah. It's all the same wall.
Right. It's not right. He's not right. In other words, it could be that the mitzvah would be to go on to the north wall and then.
But that's part of the same mitzvah.
Right. Fine. Tana Rabbanan. Now here's what we're going to do. Let's go right to Rashi, because there's a lot of background information that the Gemara assumes that we know, and right now we don't. So let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi is going to introduce us to all the background information. And then we can go back to the Gemara and do a much better job understanding the Gemara. Again, there's a foundation to the Mizbech, as I just described. One base jutting out on the north side and another base jutting out on the west side. There are five times in Chumash where the Torah describes that you take the Shayari Hadam, the remaining blood, whatever blood's left in the bowl, after you sprinkle, and then you pour down the Yisod HaMizbeach. Rashi takes us through all five. Chamish Parshios in. I'm in Rashi. I'm in the 5th wide line down, as the line starts to get wide, and the Rashi that starts with the words El Yisod Mizbech HaOlah. Chamish Parshios in. There are five Parshios in the Torah. Number one, Chata Shel Par Mashiach, the beginning of Perek Dalet. Number two, Shel Helam, right, or as on the side of the Gemara, Shel Ha'Eda, the Par Helam Davar Shel Tzibor. Shein Penimios. Now, those two have in common, as though those are inner ones, meaning that after you slaughter the animal, the blood is sprinkled in the Kodesh, in the Eichel. Number three, Shel Seir Shel Nasi. The Seir of the Nasi, if the Nasi sins, he brings a special goat. It's not a female, it's a male. Vishel Kivsas Yachid, Vishel Seiras Yachid. The sheep of the individual, and the goat of the individual, meaning a regular person who sins, brings a carbon chatas, either a goat or a sheep, female for both, And the Torah gives us two parshios for each one of them. Shehein chitzonios, and these last three, the goat of the king, and the sheep and the goat of a commoner, of us, the rest of us, are chitzonios, meaning they're the standard chatas that is shechted and sprinkled on the outer mizbeach. B'shtayim apanimios, v'sir nasi k'sir v'shvicha shireihem, el yesod mizbeach ha'olah. Now, on the two inners, meaning on the Kohen and the Parhelim Davar, and on the Nasi's Seir, the Torah says, El Yesod Mizbech Ha'Ola, the foundation of the Mizbech of the Ola, meaning the outer one. The outer Mizbech is called the Mizbech Ha'Ola, because that's the one where the Ola, the daily Ola offering, is being brought. B'shtam Echetzonios Ksiv El Yesod Mizbech Stama, or Yesod HaMizbech. It doesn't say the Mizbech HaOlah. Okay? So now, three times the Torah goes out of its way to say, when you sprinkle the leftover blood, it's Mizbech HaOlah. Three times. V'kadarish Tana Tlasa El Mizbech HaOlah. Lama Pir Shakasuf. So, and now what we're about to do now, what the Bryce is going to do, is going to explain to us why three times. Why does the Torah have to say on three occasions that when you get the Shayari Adam, you sprinkle on the outer Mizbeach? Right? Three times. Two of them being totally excessive. Fine. V'hachi garsin ala b'toros kohanim. And then, next part of Rashi we don't have to do, that Rashi then quotes the Toros Kohanim, the Medrash Halacha on Vayikra, and basically it's going to mimic exactly what we see in our Gemara as well. All right? Let's go back to our Gemara. Let's do our Gemara. Tana Rabbanan. So this is now number one. El Yisod Mizbech HaOlah V'lo Yisod Mizbech HaPanimi. So number one is that the foundation of the Mizbech HaOlah, not the foundation of the Mizbech HaPanimi. Rashi over here writes, Hamor Bepare Da Delot Sarach Su Da Ikish La Adadi El Olumot Ba She'afilo Yisod Ein Lo LePanimi. In other words, number one, on the inner Mizbeach, right, the golden Mizbeach, the Mizbeach HaKetores, right? What other things can we call it? On the inner Mizbeach, first of all, there's no Yisod. There simply is no foundation. Right? There, obviously, it's resting on a base, but it doesn't jut out like the outer Mizbeach. Okay? V'achim Midrash Ho'am Yusla L'Josh Yisod Yelam Mizbeach Ho'la V'lo L'Panimi. Okay, so that's number one. Number two, El Yisod Mizbeach Ho'la Ein Lo Yisod L'Panimi Atzmo. There is no Yisod to the Panimi. Number three, I'm sorry. The point that I just read in Rashi was going on number two. Okay. Number three, El Yisod Mizbech HaOla, Tain Yisod LeMizbech Shel Ola. What does that mean? Rashi explains. So far, this idea of pouring the leftover blood onto the foundation is only mentioned by Karban Chatos. It's mentioned by the Kohen Gadols, Parhelm Davar Shel Tzibor, the goat of the king, and the two female chatuses, Si'ira u'kisva, of the regular person. And that's it. So how do I know that this halacha of pouring the Shayare Hadam onto the foundation of the outer Mizbech, how do I know that that applies to all other karbanos? That's what I learned from the third mention of Mizbech HaOlah.
But not all other karbanos are offered in the inner Mizbech.
Right. Agreed. Agreed. Okay? So, now, El Yisod Mizbech HaOlah, Tein Yisod Mizbech HaOlah. O Eino Ela Mizbech HaOlah, Yehei LeYisod. So, the Gemara says, maybe it's not talking at all about the other Karbanos. But maybe over here, the halach is to tell me where I sprinkle the blood of the karbanos. Maybe it's telling me a halacha in where I actually sprinkle the blood. I'm Rabbi Shmuel Kavachomer. So Rabbi Shmuel says no. Masha yarim she'in mechaprim teunim yisod tchilas ola shemechaperes eno din sheteuna yisod. No, that was already generated from a kavachomer. Look, shayarim, it's not a mechaper. Right? The idea of pouring the remaining blood down the Yisod HaMizbeach, onto the Yisod HaMizbeach, that's not essential. It's a mitzvah, but it's not essential. And meanwhile, it requires yisod. Tchilas ola shemechaperes eino din shetuna yisod. So when I have the ola, which really the truth of the matter is that it is mechaper. So in other words, for sure I need foundation. Meaning I need to sprinkle the blood on an area of the mizbeach where there is foundation. Again, just all you have to do is just take a quick look at the picture over there. There's foundation along the entire north wall of the Mizbeach. There's foundation aside along the entire western wall of the Mizbeach. There's no foundation on the south, and there's no foundation on the east. So of course, if I'm pouring the blood of the Chatas on an area where it's not even that essential, don't you think where it's essential, I got to go alongside a wall where there's foundation? I'm Rabbi Akiva. Let's just do a little bit more this morning. I'm Rabbi Akiva. Now, Rabbi Akiva is going to sound very similar to what we just said. Rabbi Akiva's Kavachomer sounds almost identical to Rabbi Shmuel's Kavachomer. So, so the Bryce ends off by saying, so what do we learn out from the third mention of Yisod Shal Ola? We learn out that all other karbanos have this mitzvah of Shayare Hadam, where if I have leftover blood after having performed the Zrika, I pour that blood down the Yisod HaMizbeach.
Good.
Okay, and this is that's the end of the Bryce, and starting tomorrow we're going to dissect the Braisa piece by piece, and we're going to go over the some of the basic points in the Braisa, the difference between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Yishmael in terms of their Kavachomer. Because we're talking about Shayari Adam. In other words, in the Mishnah just mentioned the halacha of Shayari Adam, and this Braisa tells us that this is a halacha that's universal to all other Kabbalists.